The session of the court continues. Commissioner Elizabeth Long presiding.
Please be seated. The final case scheduled for this morning is 2013-1506, Board of Education of Olentangy Local Schools versus Delaware County Board of Revision et al. For the appellant, Mr. Gillis.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Mark Gillis on behalf of the Board of Education of the Olentangy Local School District. I would like to reserve 5 minutes of my time for rebuttal. We are here today to resolve the question of whether or not the plain language of Revised Code 571304 prohibits an auction sale from being used as the criterion of the property's value. This court reserved ruling on this very issue in its Walters decision and as well in its more recent FENCO decision. The Walters court reserved ruling on this issue solely because the issue wasn't raised properly by the parties. In FENCO, the court reserved ruling because in that case, the auction sale was deemed by the court to also be a forced sale. And once it was determined to be a forced sale under 571304, there was no need to analyze it as an auction sale under the same statute. 571304 is clear and unambiguous. It states, the price for which such real property would sell at auction or forced sale shall not be taken as criterion of its value. The FENCO court described this language as mandatory language of 571304. While the FENCO case didn't decide this issue, its analysis of this statute is quite applicable to this case. First of all, they indicated that there's a difference between a forced sale and an auction sale when it determined that once it was a forced sale, they didn't need to get to the issue of the auction sale. Second of all, the court properly applied this section to a consummated sale, which goes to the argument of Appellee saying that this statute is somehow only to be applied to hypothetical future transactions. They have asserted this argument because of the portion of that sentence that states the property would sell at auction.
Counsel, before we get into the textual analysis of the has and future and past tense, in FENCO, do you read that decision as not establishing or recognizing an absolute bar in 04, but rather as sort of implying that it's a rebuttable presumption? I believe there's language suggesting that it might be possible to show that even a forced sale may be voluntary and at arm's length under certain circumstances.
I suppose it's possible in that the court is indicating that there is some possible way to do that. And maybe it's more so with regard to an auction sale. But certainly, under no circumstances, can an auction sale enjoy the same presumption of validity and being done at arm's length as any other sale. It must have the same presumption that the FENCO court indicated with regard to a forced sale, which is that the usual presumption is that it isn't the indicator of value. And that would mean that the burden is on the proponent of the auction sale to prove that it was arm's length. And in this particular case, that could be done, one, by another appraisal. It could have been done with testimony or evidence of the seller's motivation. Were they a typically motivated seller? Because that goes to the nature of it being arm's length. We have no indication that the seller was a typically motivated seller. The identity of this.
You believe on this record it wouldn't be possible for the BTA or the BOR to have concluded that this sale involved typically motivated parties and that this seller was acting voluntarily?
I don't think that that was proven.
Well, did the school board make these arguments about 04 as an absolute bar before the Board of Revision or make this argument about burdens there?
We made the argument with regard to 04 at the Board of Tax Appeals.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say off the top of my head whether it was made at the Board of Revision. One must understand the way the Board of Revision works is that there's no discovery power. We have no idea what is going to be presented until we sit down at the table. And that is why the Board of Tax Appeals is required to do a de novo review of the evidence and independently determine value. That's also why a Board of Revision's decision is not entitled to be to a presumption of validity. Essentially, the BTA is a do-over for in most respects.
Even at the BTA, it appears that in the school board's brief, it was focusing there on arguing that this was a forced auction sale. And now has there been sort of a shift to argue that even if it was a voluntary auction, that that is still prohibited by 04?
Both sales would be prohibited. There is no doubt, the record is clear, that the seller of this property, the infamous Countrywide Home Loans, took this property back through foreclosure. The purchase contract and the addendum thereto indicate a number of things with regard to this property. It states that they acquired it through foreclosure or some other similar process. They've never occupied the property. They had little or no direct knowledge of the condition of the property, and they were selling it in as-is condition. And furthermore, the bidders were limited. It could not be sold to the prior mortgagor or anybody affiliated with them. Now, we look at the time frame of the sale, which was in very late 08, which is really the height of the housing crisis, in part precipitated by the subprime mortgage lender of Countrywide Home Loans. Countrywide's not in the business of owning real estate. They don't want this property. They only have it because the owner of the property wasn't paying the mortgage. Their only recourse is to take it back. It's not that they wanted it. Now, in the time frame we're talking about here, they need to liquidate their assets. They don't hold the property. They don't even know anything about it. It's likely, according to the purchase contract, that they've never even seen this property. So to say that they are a typically motivated seller certainly isn't demonstrated in the record here.
Would you mind going back? I believe I interrupted you when you were about to make a textual argument about hypothetical future transactions versus past consummated transactions in 04?
Certainly. The Supreme Court in FENCO applied 5713-04 to a consummated forced sale. Now, it was also an auction sale, but they didn't have to reach the auction portion of it. But with regard to the argument that the would sell at auction only applies to future hypothetical transactions, first of all, doesn't mesh with the statutory scheme. This section is telling the auditor what he is required to do when he's valuing property as of January 1st of a particular tax year. The auditor is always asking, what would this property sell for on that date? Now, no property from a practical standpoint can actually transfer and be recorded on January 1st because it's a legal holiday. So every time the auditor is valuing property, he's asking that question. With the reference back to 03, which talks about a recent arm's length sale, also says willing buyer and willing seller, which gets to the typical motivations. All 04 is saying is that under the circumstances of an auction sale and the circumstances of a forced sale, which are completely different or can be completely different, that you don't get the presumption that it was done at arm's length between a willing buyer and a willing seller, and it's upon the proponent of the sale to prove all of those points. It's interesting that in FENCO, they talked about the potential of overcoming this presumption, but they specifically stated that exposure to the market and the fact that there were a number of bidders cannot do it. It has to be more than that. And that's because you don't know the motivations in a forced sale of the buyer and the seller. Now, here you may be able to glean from the record what the motivation of the buyer was. It's to get the property as cheaply as possible. But we don't know whether or not the motivation of Countrywide Home Loans was simply to liquidate the property because they needed cash now. The interesting thing about auctions is there's no negotiation. You're accepting bids. So Countrywide doesn't come back. Now, they could have rejected the offer here, but that doesn't take it out of the purview of an auction. Section Title 47 talks about auctions and, in fact, indicates that there are two types. You have a reserve auction, which is like the subject's auction, and an absolute auction. And it specifically states that unless stated otherwise, all auctions are considered reserve auctions. So just because the seller reserved the right to reject all bids does not mean it wasn't an auction. That's the default auction.
Is there an even more fundamental question here? I mean, the appellees have argued that this isn't an auction at all under any definition of auction in 4707.
That doesn't make a great deal of sense because it's referred to as an auction. All of the documentation in the record calls it an auction. There was an auctioneer accepting bids. That means taking bids in, not accepting them on behalf of Countrywide. Otherwise, a reserve auction, by its own definition, couldn't be an auction. And it's referred to as an auction by all parties throughout the litigation here until we got here. So it's admitted that this was an auction. Nobody can claim otherwise in that regard. The Board of Tax Appeals placed the burden to show that the auction sale wasn't arm's length on the Board of Education, when in fact that's an illegal shifting of the burden under 04 and FENCO, which creates the usual presumption that an auction sale is not the true value of the property. The BTA said this specifically: as there is insufficient evidence to indicate that the sale was not arm's length, we find the sale price is the best evidence of true value. When it should have said, there is insufficient evidence to indicate that it was arm's length, that they rejected the sale. That would have been the proper analysis under a presumption, the usual presumption, that an auction sale or forced sale is not indicative of the true value of the property.
In the sentence immediately preceding that, doesn't the BTA also say the board finds, based upon the record, that all elements of an arm's length sale were indeed present, which suggests that they arguably found both ways. They looked at the burden in both directions.
They say that, but they don't say specifically what they are calling all of the elements. And I would submit that a review of this record indicates that there's no indication that the seller was typically motivated here. The fact that the financial lending institution took it back in foreclosure and then sold it at auction at least gives rise to the presumption that they weren't. And without more than that, that presumption, which the FENCO court applied to the forced sale, which is the other type of sale, isn't rebutted. And the two other factors that they do mention, that it was publicly advertised and that there were many bidders under FENCO, they specifically state that that isn't sufficient. But under any circumstances, the presumption can't be that it is a valid sale. It has to be that it isn't placing the burden on the proponent of the sale.
Doesn't the 9-month listing on the MLS at all distinguish this from the sale, the HUD sale in FENCO? It at least shows it was on the open market for a period of time preceding this auction.
It shows that it was listed. We don't know why it didn't sell. We don't know what offers were presented. We don't know what conditions of those offers were, if any were, and were rejected. None of that evidence is in the record. The fact that there's an MLS listing in and of itself doesn't tell you that the seller is typically motivated. One of the things with this auction is they had to close in 30 days. The property owner had to have cash for a down payment up front. The typical time frame of a transaction where you have escrow and inspections over a lengthier period of time indicates that there was a need to get this done quickly. While they couldn't sell the property, I suppose, on the MLS, That doesn't mean that they were acting as a typically motivated seller in their attempts to do so. Slapping up a listing doesn't mean that they're actively marketing the property. They hire a realtor or anything like that, we have no idea. Thank you.
Mr. Bates?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, Christian Bates on behalf of the taxpayer. We have co-appellees in this case, and I would like to allot 2 minutes to Mr. Fowler here on behalf of the Delaware County Auditor and the Delaware County Board of Revision. For 25 years in the state of Ohio, the rule has been that when an auction price is fetched through an auction that meets the criteria of an arm's length transaction, that price is the true value of the property. The Walters versus Knox County Board of Revision case establishes that. Walters acknowledged the very statute that's at issue today, 571304. They declined to address it. They also declined to address it in the FinCo case. This is not simply a case where the court is not aware or that statute wasn't brought to their attention. They made those rulings recognizing 571304. They certainly had the authority to address 571304, even though it might not have been raised properly in Walters. They declined to do so.
Counsel, is it really fair to say that FinCo didn't address 04 at all? Didn't it just decline to address the auction portion of 04?
Actually, when you read the FinCo case, the holding that sale did not constitute an arm's length transaction was decided under 571303. The court held that because there wasn't a willing seller, i.e. HUD was under duress, then it didn't qualify as an arm's length sale under 571303, which is one of the points that we make in this case. If the school board's position is correct, that 571304 applies to consummated sales, then 571303 and its language talking about willing seller and willing buyer, and 571304 talking about for sales, is talking about the same thing. We have two statutes dealing with the exact same subject matter. Now, as a traditional rule of statutory construction, we simply cannot have that. There are two methods for valuing property in Ohio. Number one is when the property has been the subject of a sale. Berea City Schools makes it clear that that is the preferred method for valuing property. When there's been a recent arm's length sale, we don't look to any other evidence. When there hasn't been a sale, there's an appraisal. That appraisal, per the statute and per the administrative code, is designated to find true value, the price at which a property should sell in the open market between a willing seller and willing buyer. When you compare that should sell language of the appraisal with the would sell language in 571304, what's clear is that what 571304 prevents, and only prevents, is the use of auctions or for sales as market data in an appraisal.
I guess, and perhaps you can argue it's just dicta, but I think in FinCo it reads 04 and says this codifies the presumption that a for sale is not at arm's length or voluntary or something of that nature. So to me, that seems like it speaks to evaluating whether a sale is at arm's length or not, but it doesn't specifically cabin 04 to hypothetical future transactions. Do you have any case sites where the BTA or this court has looked at 04 in a prospective-only way and said that it doesn't apply to consummated sales?
No, because this issue has not been raised before. And I think that there is some confusion, but regardless of court treatment, and it's never been raised, so the court's never had the occasion to...
But hasn't the BTA, at the very least, applied 04 to consummated sheriff sales, forced sales of other...
Sure.
Okay, so you're just saying this court hasn't decided that.
I'm simply suggesting that there have been a number of courts, BTA mostly, that has confused the application of 571304 and 571303. Typically in a sheriff sale case through a foreclosure, the BTA will hold that price cannot be the true value under 571304, and they cite the for sale provision. All right, respectfully to the Board of Tax Appeals, what they should be citing is 571303. Because what we are talking about is a consummated sale. And what I would point out is that the result is the same. In other words, the BTA, even when they apply 57-1304 and say, well, a consummated sheriff sale cannot be true value, the result is the same, even though the analysis might not be there. And again, the Supreme Court in Finco, and there are other examples, I mean, thousands of cases, you know, that we could certainly cite, where their 57-1303 is applied or 04 is applied. It's kind of a pick your poison. And that kind of underscores the point. Because if you can reach the same conclusion under the statutes, that interpretation simply cannot be correct. Simply cannot be correct.
I guess, counsel, though, if you're reading 03 and 04 as establishing different burdens, shifting the burden from one party to another, depending on what type of transaction was involved, then I don't really see how one is necessarily rendering the other meaningless.
Well, 57-1304 doesn't speak of any burden. 57-1304 says the price at which it would sell. It's using a hypothetical would sell. 57-1303 says the price at which it has been sold. This property has been sold. There is simply no need to do any analysis under 57-1304. And this court has already held that an auction price can be true value under 57-1303. And if we want to talk about shifting burdens, you know, it's interesting that the school board's position has now changed. Initially, the argument in front of the Board of Tax Appeals, or rather in front of this court, was absolutely under no circumstances can you have an auction price be the true value. Now we're talking about burden. Well, there's a presumption, you know, did they rebut the presumption? And then they argue that under the facts of this case, that somehow we have not established that the seller was a typically motivated seller. As Your Honor pointed out, the facts in this case are that this seller took possession of the property in November 2007. It was not sold until December 2008, 13 months later. It was listed with a realtor on an MLS in February. At an initial list price of $479,000, which was subsequently reduced to $448,000. Now that is key. If we would have purchased this property at $448,000 from the agent, say in October of 2008, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But because we purchased it a month later at a slight, 6.8% discount at auction, now we're saying that, well, we don't have any evidence of the motivation of the seller. This court has held in, and there's a number of these cases, so I want to make sure I cite the right one, Columbus City School District Board of Revision versus Franklin County Board of Revision. That's the 2012 case, 134 Ohio State 3rd, 529. When there is evidence that a bank acquired property and listed it for a reasonable amount of time, the buyer has established that the lender was acted as a typically motivated seller. Otherwise, what's going to have to happen is that when we go to the Board of Revision, a taxpayer, oftentimes not represented by counsel, is going to have to subpoena somebody from a large mortgage company to come testify. They're also going to have to do that at the Board of Tax Appeals. Now, that may be necessary in certain circumstances, but certainly here, given the facts of this case, we have demonstrated that they acted as a typically motivated seller. They listed on MLS for 9 months. The price at auction was 93.1% of what they had asked for in the final list price.
I guess as a practical matter, what explanation is there really for the auditor's initial valuation coming in $400,000 higher than this auction sale price?
Don't know.
I mean, he was looking at comparables and estimating the value as of the same date that, okay.
Don't know. But obviously, of course, this is all in the context of the largest housing market collapse in the history of this country.
Okay. Going to your interpretation of the statute involving consummated transactions versus hypothetical future transactions, running with that for a minute, what would be the justification for saying that a consummated auction sale is good enough evidence to be regarded as the true value, but that that can't be considered as a single factor in an appraiser's evaluation of this hypothetical?
Sure, because in a consummated sale where we're challenging the value, we're doing that at a Board of Revision hearing. There's an evidentiary hearing that's available to the school board, to the property owner, that all the facts can be flushed out so that we can have testimony about the circumstances and all that information can be presented. When you're using an auction price or a for sale price as a sales comp, We don't know the background of that auction. We don't know the background of that forced sale. You know, and there's potential for abuse in an auction case. For example, I'm in Cleveland. Let's say that this auction took place in Cleveland in December. Well, it wouldn't be unusual for there to be 14 inches of snow that day. Nobody shows up at the auction. There could be collusion. The auction advertisement could have listed 132 Main Street instead of 123. So there are a number of factors that would go into making an auction price unreliable, which we admit. But again, that's why we have a hearing when we're talking about the consummated sale. And in fact, in practical reality, if you go to the Board of Revision with an appraiser, and the appraiser has a lot of sales comps that have forced sales, distress sales, auction sales, the Board of Revision properly is going to look at those with a raised eyebrow, because there's simply a lot of potential for abuse and there's not enough information for them to say those sales are indicative of value in this case. And I think that that's what the General Assembly had in mind when they say the price that it would sell for at auction or for sale should not be taken as the criterion of value. I have nothing further. If there's no questions, I would like to turn this over to my colleague here.
Mr. Fowler.
Good morning, Your Honor. Mark Fowler, Delaware County Prosecuting Attorney, Assistant Prosecuting Attorney, here on behalf of Delaware County. From the county's perspective, you know, we just want guidance from the court as to how these types of sales should be treated. And we think if there is a distinction, which has been, that door has been opened in Walters and Finco, if that distinction is to be made, that this is the perfect case to do that, because it does have all indicia of arm's length. You know, and reliability. And that's what the Board of Revision found, that's what the Board of Tax Appeals found, and that's what this court should find as well. And the county doesn't necessarily think that that's contrary to statute, that they can be read together, 0.04 and 0.03, in making that distinction. So, yeah, the county would just like guidance and the court to find that the BOR and BTA found correctly and properly.
Thank you, Mr. Fowler. Mr. Gillis, you have 23 seconds remaining, and you may take a minute.
I will be as brief as possible. In a concise statement, appellee's argument that 04 only applies to future transactions, but that once it's consummated, it can be used for the value of that particular property violates the Ohio Constitution Section Article 12, Section 2, which is known as the Uniform Rule of Taxation. What it would mean, and we can use the hypothetical, albeit somewhat changed, that was put in Appley's brief. You have identical houses next to each other. One sells at auction for $400,000, and in this case, you have the one next to it that's valued at $650,000. Before this property sold, the future auction sale couldn't be used. The auction sale can't be used as a comp for the identical neighboring property, so it can't be revalued at $400,000 based upon that sale, but the subject property can, which means we have two methods of valuation using an auction sale. That is why in 57-1304 the legislature listed two things, two types of sales that can't be used, auction sales and forced sales. And that gets back to what counsel just stated. Auction sales are rife with the potential for abuse. It could be that there's collusion. It could be that there is 12 inches of snow and nobody came. There might have been more bidders in this particular auction based on somebody was sick. When it's listed and it's open for a long period of time, and I would surmise to say that 9 months in this period of time, when nobody was lending any money because of the housing collapse, 9 months isn't that long of a period of time when people's had their houses on the market for 1, 2, and 3 years. They didn't put theirs up for auction because they didn't have to. They weren't forced to. They didn't need cash right away. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gillis. The case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.
All rise.